RX Radio Sports with Mujahid Wiener.
Good morning, Cape Town. I am Mujahid Wiener and you're listening to RX Radio. This is your sports show with Muji, and in studio today I have a pro tier that comes from my hometown, Strandfontein. And he goes by the name of JP Dumini. Hi, good morning, JP.
Good morning, Mujahid. How's it going?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, good, buddy.
So, for those that are not familiar with who you are, could you give them a brief intro of...
Sure. JP Dumini, as you said, professional cricket player, playing currently for South Africa and the Cape Cobras. And that's pretty much my profession. I'm involved in various charity organizations. I have my own foundation called the JP21 Project. So that keeps me busy when I'm not on the cricket field. And got a little daughter who's almost 2 years old, married for just under 6 years. So that's a short and long of JP Dumini the cricketer.
So about the JP21 Project, what inspired you to give back to the community and by uplifting youth through sport in the Mitchells Plain District?
So yeah, this is an area where I grew up. You know, looking into this community, we realized that the cricket had died, and you have 54 primary schools in Mitchells Plain and Strandfontein alone, and you had four schools that was only playing cricket.
At the time.
So we saw an opportunity to uplift the game, or uplift the community through the game of cricket and getting kids active. And you realize in a community like Strandfontein and Mitchells Plain, you know, it's eroded by gangsterism and alcohol abuse, drug abuse. So you want to give kids different opportunities. And, you know, that is the fundamental background of why we started, was to give kids opportunities and to realize that, you know, gangsters and drug abusers, alcohol abusers, they don't have to be your role models. There are various role models out there. And, you know, I'm fortunate to be in a position where kids looked up to me to be a role model. So this was a great platform for me to give back to the community that I was from. And so far it's been growing from strength to strength. We've got 35 schools now involved. We operate only in primary schools, so we are 35 out of the 54 playing cricket now, and 36 playing KFC mini cricket. So, you know, we're getting kids active, and that's the important thing.
What are the futures for the JP21 Project? Do you look to expand it by taking it to schools outside the Mitchells Plain District?
The short-term goal is to try and get all 54 primary schools involved and set up some sort of feeding program to include high schools as well in the community. Look, we definitely want to expand, and not only in the Western Cape, but we're thinking across South Africa. But we understand that this is going to take a long period of time, so, you know, we're taking it step by step and not trying to grow too big too quickly so that it's not out of our control. At the present time, we've got my best mate, Jermaine Clutie, who's the project manager. So he oversees everything. Obviously, with me traveling 9 months out of the year, it's difficult to have a hands-on sort of feel on the project. So he looks after it. And we've got two full-time coaches or coordinators involved as well. So we understand that for us to grow in terms of numbers, we are going to need to increase in staff as well. So, you know, these kind of projects, especially with the number of kids that we operate with, you know, funding is very important. So, as I said, we don't want to grow too big too quickly. We just want to make sure that we're in control of it.
When you see the kids playing cricket or yearning about them, how does it make you feel knowing that you are the cause or the reason behind all of these things?
It's a very humbling and overwhelming experience. And we had recently now, 2 weeks ago, we had our six-a-side tournament at Newlands. So where the finals of our six-a-side tournament, they get to play at Newlands, and that's obviously a great achievement for them. But just to see the number of kids and parents, teachers, sports coordinators involved in that day and the passion that they show towards the project, you know, that is an unbelievable experience. And there was a moment on that day, because I was obviously present, and we had a JP team versus the media team. And I took a wicket in the game, and all the kids ran onto the field, came to hug me.
Yeah.
So that just shows how much these kids appreciated, you know, and having the opportunity not only to play at Newlands, but to play the game of cricket. And that is the ultimate goal.
So where did your love of cricket come from, and why cricket specifically and not any other sport?
I think in a way cricket kind of chose me. I loved the game from a young age. I started playing club cricket when I was about 9 years old. Started at Stramfontein Cricket Club and then obviously moved on to school cricket. But that's pretty much where the love of the game started. So I remember my very first game like it happened yesterday. I got a first ball duck.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst experience.
So I remember thinking, or somebody told me this, it could have been my dad or my mom saying, well, you can't get any worse. You can only get better from your first game. So, as I said, that is where the love of the game started. And, you know, it became quite serious when I started making provincial teams. And I was quite fortunate to get a senior contract at 17. So I was in matric still, so I was very fortunate to be earning money in matric. And from there, it just sort of blossomed, you know. Made my South African debut at age 20. So I've been pretty fortunate in my career. But with a career, you experience many ups and downs. And as those ups that or the downs outweigh the ups, really. But, you know, the experiences of winning a game, putting in a big performance, especially for your country, you know, triumphs any sort of failure that you're going through.
How did it make you feel when you were selected to represent the country for the first time?
I remember the experience almost being like I was in a bubble. When I say that, I mean it felt a little bit surreal. It didn't feel like it was really happening.
It felt like it was a dream.
Eh? Yeah, you know, this is obviously a childhood dream. And to be honest, I never really believed that I could ever play for South Africa. It was more my dad that believed that I had the capability and the talent to get there. Only once I ever got the contract to represent Western Province, then that sort of dream became a reality for me. Then obviously the goal was to work towards trying to get into the national team. Yeah, it wasn't a great experience first up. We lost, I think it was 5-0 in the one-day series and 1-0 in the test series. So, and then I got left out for 3 years, which is probably a blessing, because I then got a taste of what international cricket was about. Because I was definitely not up to the standard in terms of the way I practiced, my mental preparation, my physical preparation. So I went back then into domestic cricket and prepared myself better for hopefully another call-up. And in 2007, I think I got the call-up again and haven't looked back since.
What was the support structure like at the time that made you into the great cricketer that you are today?
You know, support structures are vitally important. And whenever I speak to young kids, young adults, I always encourage them to surround themselves with the right people. The people that are going to encourage them in what their vision is, their goals are. So I was very fortunate. I had parents that believed in me. Pretty much my whole family is my support structure still. You know, you get to meet some great people along the way that you take a liking to. They end up being those encouraging people in your career. And as I said, those people are vitally important, and the opinions of those people are the opinions that you trust. Because of the career that I have, you always find yourself in a situation where you get lots of criticism from the public. That's the career that I chose, and the downside to it is the criticism. But I've developed a thick skin, you know, for it. But also, again, the support structure is the vitally important part to get you through those tough periods. And to understand that their opinions of you and your own opinion is what matters the most.
When we had our cricket presentation last month, you said something of your grandparents being your support. So what role did they play?
Yeah, and the reason why I mentioned them was, as I mentioned that night, was I specifically invited them there because that's where my cricketing career started, firstly. But when I was a junior cricketer, my grandparents were the ones that never missed the game. You know, whether it was raining, cold, sunshine, they were always there on the field watching me play, supporting me and encouraging me, you know, through the ups and downs. And it was just a great platform for me to acknowledge them, to thank them for what they've done in my career. Obviously, they're pushing a good age now, so they still try and support as best as they can in whichever way that is, whether it is just a phone call to say good luck or all the best, you know, because they don't necessarily get to go to the games anymore. But, You know, those kind of support structures, as I said, are vitally important.
In the game of cricket, each individual has its role. Could you explain to the listeners what is your role in the team?
Well, fortunately for me, I play a few roles, one being a batter, obviously. But, you know, when the team needs me to bowl a bit as well, that's a role that I've really enjoyed, you know, because it's an opportunity to make a play in the game, not only with a bat, now with the ball. Obviously, fielding is always very important. But I think just from off-the-field stuff, you know, regarded as a senior player in the team, is making sure that you look after the smaller things within the team culture, making sure that guys don't step out of line, you know, those kind of things. Because it's important to have those disciplines in a professional environment. And I'm fortunate to be one of the gatekeepers, you know, for that team culture. So making sure I look after that is vitally important.
I've also heard that when you stored in Sri Lanka, I think it was the first time when you were on the boat, you, AB, and David Miller, I think you started like a Bible study.
Yeah.
Could you tell the listeners a bit about that?
It was actually Faf that started it. Faf du Plessis, yeah, he started it because he gave his heart to the Lord about 4 years back. This is something now where I sort of inquired about and was quite intrigued by why he made that decision. So he started the Bible study, and the Bible study consisted of just myself and him to start. And then David Miller came on board, and AB came on board. And a few weeks into that tour, we actually all gave our hearts to the Lord and, you know, became Christians. And that has been an amazing experience for me. And knowing that, you know, I have God in my corner wherever I go and whatever I do has been a great boost. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to succeed in everything you do. It's just knowing that, you know, you're going to go through tough times. But there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. And, yeah, it's been a great experience so far. And been a great experience to encourage people through my faith. I've had great opportunities all around the world to speak to people around my testimony, how I came to know God. And that has been a great experience thus far.
So could you share maybe with us, what was your greatest tour experience and what did you find interesting about other countries and things like that?
I think, you know, with the opportunity to tour a lot of countries, you get to understand the different cultures around the world and how they deal with the challenges that they face. I mean, if you go to a place like India, there's massive poverty. You're looking at, I think it's 1.4 billion people. And I would say probably 50 to 60% of that population are probably below the poor line, you know. So touring a place like that is a humbling experience, you know. To see people smile, you're living on the street and, you know, their circumstances not being great, but they still find time to smile and be encouraged when they see you, to see you play. Cricket is a, you know, obviously the biggest sport in a country like that, and to see them have that joy and peace in their heart because of what you do is a massive privilege.
So what is the team's approach when it comes to a match situation and the opponent is dominating? Could you like quote a few words that the captain would use at the time to keep the team spirit up?
Look, in a game of cricket, I guess if I had to put it in a pressure moment, that pressure shifts from team to team. It can shift in a 5-over period, in a 50-over period, depending on the format you're playing. So the things that we try and speak about, especially during the game, is making sure that we stay patient, always coming up with strategy around how we're trying to get, you know, the opposition out, how we're trying to contain them. If there's a period in the game where you're just trying to contain rather than trying to get wickets, it's understanding where the situation of the game is. So, you know, the further up you go in terms of the levels of cricket you play, I think the better it is the way you understand how the game works and the ups and downs or the ebbs and flows of the game, and how you need to read and understand the situations of the game is vitally important. And the captain is the one to sort of make sure we understand that.
From my personal experience of cricket, each team has the characters, like the jokers, the clowns, and Could you like let us in on a bit of the team secrets of who plays what role in that situation?
There's only one person that stands out to be the joker or the clown in the team, and that's Morne Morkel. I mean, he's obviously a tall guy, but he's like a bit of a giraffe in many ways, where he's very lump in his legs sometimes, so he like falls on his own feet, or he says silly things, but he's very witty. You know, he's very quick to make jokes and funny comments. And he's just a great guy to have in your team. Then you have someone like Quinton de Kock, who's his kit. It's just a mess in the change room. It's all over the place. Yeah, so you never want to end up sitting next to him. His shoes stinks. Sure. So he's always carrying baby powder around, squirting it in his shoes. So yeah, those are the sort of characters we have in the team.
That's a bit of exposure for Quinton, eh? So you've mentioned all of these things, but you actually got the nickname, JP. And what's the other part? I don't want to say it because... You know, many people feel offended if you call them on the nickname.
Koppe.
Yeah. So could you tell us, where does JP Koppe come from?
It started in junior cricket. I'm not sure if you know the name, Faisal Simon.
Yeah.
So we played junior cricket together. I think he's a sports coordinator at Marty's now. And whenever I had my helmet on, he felt that my head looked extremely big when I had a helmet on. And obviously, Koppe being the Afrikaans word for big head, he sort of just started calling me Koppe, and for some reason just stuck. And it's not a great name to have, to be honest. But yeah, unfortunately it stuck, so I've made peace with it.
Many people are talking about the RPL. What is your personal point of view about it?
It's a great tournament to be involved in. And, you know, it gets great viewership all around the world. And as I said earlier, you know, when you're playing in India, it's a cricket-mad country, so the support... for your local team is huge. I mean, you've seen pretty much every game is sold out, packed stadiums, and you know the love for the game is just overwhelming in a place like that. And as I said, it's a great tournament to be involved in, but I pulled out this year wanting to put my focus on international cricket for what is obviously coming up in the next few months.
When you take part in the IPL, how does it feel knowing that you're playing against the opposition, which is also from the same country as you, you play in the same international team? How does that make you feel?
You always want to get them out or, you know, get one up on them. And I think that's the competitive nature that you play with. And I think that's installed in you from a young age to try and win, you know. So it doesn't change. The great thing about the IPL is that you get to play with players from different countries. You get to know them on a personal level. So when you're playing or touring different countries, you find that you end up having dinner together or just meeting up for a coffee or something because you're creating friendships. And that has been a great revelation for the IPL.
Are there any words of encouragement that you have for the children in the hospital?
I've been an ambassador for a few years now for the Red Cross, and every time I visit here, it's a totally humbling experience. You know, seeing the challenges that these kids face, and to be able to encourage them in some way by just visiting, you know, their room is obviously a great privilege for me. For me to say something would be just to keep fighting. You know, you experience various challenges in your life, and whether it be a one-year-old or a 10-year-old, or even at my age, 33 years old, you know, you're going to experience challenges. It's how you rise above it that makes the difference, and that builds the character within you, the person that carries you forward for the rest of your life. And you've had the experience of spending time in the Red Cross, and look where you're sitting today. You know, the fight that you've shown has been inspiration to many people, and that is a great testimony to various people across not only Cape Town but across South Africa. So, you know, whenever you get an opportunity, is to try and encourage those that are in a less fortunate situation, and I'm privileged to be in a situation that I get to do that.
So guys, there you have heard it from JP Dumini himself. While laying in hospital, the best option is not to give up and fight, push for your dreams, and it will come through. Thank you, JP Dumini, for this interview, and I really hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, buddy.
RX Radio Sports with Mujahid Wiener.